Grace and peace be unto you from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Depart from me, O Lord, I am a sinful man. The words of Peter have a common pathos that we all know. I don't think in the literature of the church anyone has put it better than Kierkegaard in his Works of Love, as he is describing the nature of Jesus Christ as the one who alone in his own person identifies being and existence. This is given to him alone of all who walked upon the earth. And as Kierkegaard goes on to say, for us, wisdom consists in learning the difference. The difference between what we say we are and what we are, between the profession of our lips and the actuality of our lives. This difference does not come home to us until the mission of the Lord for us comes to be a personal one, to mean me. As long as we think of those who can be heroes of the faith while we are simply observers of them, the difference does not have particular poignancy. It is when you are the one whom God calls to be a missionary. You are his mission of love to the world, that this difference becomes real. And then the hunger for this sacrament becomes an actuality of your daily existence, and you cannot live without it. The closer we walk to the light, the deeper the shadow. And the greater the tragedy if we were to look at the shadow, for then we would stumble indeed. We are to behold him as he permits us in this text, come, follow me, and you shall catch men. You shall be part of my love, my love's outreach for all. You don't have to live in your weakness and in your insignificance, but in my call. I think in Moltmann's The Theology of Hope, no section is more meaningful, at least to the laity, than this little section called The Humanizing of Man and the Missionary Hope. It is the dominant question in all our thought of man, is who is man? What is he? Who am I? And he says this question does not arise by comparing man with animals or with the things of the world. In the scripture, this question arises not even before God, as Augustine and the Reformers affirmed. Rather, it arises in the face of a divine mission. This charge and appointment from God, which transcends the bounds of the humanly possible. Thus Moses asks in the face of his call, who am I that I should go on to Pharaoh? Thus too Isaiah, in the face of his call, cries out, woe is me, for I am undone. Thus Jeremiah, in the face of his call, ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. Self-knowledge here comes in the face of the mission and call of God, which demand impossibilities of man. It is knowledge of self, knowledge of men and knowledge of guilt, knowledge of the impossibility of one's own existence in face of the possibilities demanded by the divine mission. Man attains to knowledge of himself by discovering the discrepancy between the divine mission and his own being, by learning what he is and what he is to be, yet of himself cannot be. Hence the answer received to man's question about himself and his human nature runs, I will be with thee. This does not tell man what he was and what he really is, but what he will be and can be in that history and that future to which the mission calls him. We are confronted in this Sunday's text by the living Christ, each of us where we are, in his own calling, even as Peter was at his nets. And we are called to be missionaries. When Grenfell was introduced by a chairman at a Rotarian club to which he was speaking in America as a missionary, his retort was, missionary, what do you mean? If you aren't missionaries, what are you? You're not men. This sense of being in the mission of Jesus Christ is what belongs to this feast that we now enjoy, a mission that belongs to all, the youngest of us here. None who've had his name laid upon us, but who are called to go forth in that name and to destroy the works of Satan, to trample him under our feet and to let men become freed for joy, be part of the praise of God, and know the fellowship of his love together. This is our calling, and it is too much for any of us. It is when something is laid on us that's too big for us that we learn the kind of God who has called us. A God who fulfills Augustine's prayer for each of us. Give what thou dost command, and then command what thou dost will. He will give and does give abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that is at work within us in the church. This is our confidence in him, that we can then dare great things for God, and because we can expect great things of him. Greater things than these shall you do, because I go to my Father. And as we confront the world in which we live, its opportunities for despair, we cannot live in the depression that the task is too great for us, but in the wonder that the strength which God supplies is greater than the challenge. We can know, as another one of Kierkegaard's comments in his journals, that that possibility which is a hint from God is truly his hint, and that we are called to fulfill it. That what he lays to our head and heart and hand, we can do it with all our might, knowing that the Lord God will give the blessing of himself upon the work of our hands. Holden Village exists in this wonder. Its manager was called from a research laboratory at Boeing as an aeronautical engineer to run a hotel and resort. What he knew about ordering materials or handling the affairs in detail for this mission was nil, but not his willingness to wait upon God who supplies. And we know what a miracle this place has been. I was a professor of New Testament Greek exegesis at a seminary. And I'm called here to relate to children and young adults and everyone who has no desire to even learn Greek, but they do desire to know this call of the Lord and his mission in their life, the meaning of his presence. And as we wait on God, he fulfills it in his wonder. So this becomes a community like Horty Chrisman said of it in May, that if we understood this place, we would have spoiled it. It exists in the mystery of him who does teach us to catch men, on whose presence we can confidently await and know that he never fails us. So in the battle well-nigh worsted for this bread of life have thirsted, this we know, as the hymn puts it, in a real way as we come tonight, to let Christ feed us with himself. To know what Peter meant when he said, depart from me, for our desire is to flee, but we come because it is commanded. Come, all things are now ready. Come, for I am present to feed you with myself. Come, for you are mine, and I will be with you, and give the strength which each day requires and each task calls for, that you may know that my Father's will is that you bear much fruit, and so be my disciples. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.